Hey, you sports V. You guys know what time it is. I am actually going to apologize to you guys, and what I'm going to do is I'm going to upload tonight's show because I had already recorded it. So with that, I'm going to upload it and get you guys going and apologize because this show will now be a podcast. So I thought I had uploaded it. I looked and saw that it wasn't going. I'm not going to do that. What I'm going to do is I'm going to upload the podcast, and I'm going to step away and let you guys listen. Whew. Jesus. And I'm hot. I'm so hot. So I'm going to, again, apologize to you guys because this was, as they say, not what we had anticipated, but I want to let you know that I apologize for starting late. And you guys, I hope you guys like it. I mean, it's quick. It's a quick 38 minutes, but I think it's 38 minutes of stuff that you will, well, I think 33, I can't remember. But you're going to get your sound worked. And like I said, I really do apologize, you guys, because I took care of everything as I thought I had taken care of everything. Apparently, I did not do it correctly. So, again, I apologize for that because that was. And apparently, I did not do it correctly. Better late than never. If you guys want to, while this is going on, you can reach me at 646-716-8041. That's 646-716-8041. And I apologize to you guys because the show, you know, that's it's a little bit easier to get everything out that you want to than to bore you guys with me reading and going. Because definitely it's not just me thinking or waiting on you. Get better at this. I will have more. I really do apologize. And let's see. I think we're almost finished. Again, if you guys want to call me and chat for a minute, you can contact me at 646-716-8041. That's 646-716-8041. It is still loading, so once it's loaded, then I will be going to say adios. So hopefully it doesn't take too long. And you guys enjoy it. So again, I'll be back to sign off, and I hope you guys enjoy the show. Hey, you sports bees! You guys know what time it is. It's time for Let's Talk About Sports. Today is Tuesday, May 1st. Y'all know that means it's May Day. I'm gonna jump right into it because I know you guys are not used to me doing a podcast, but this will be my very first one. So I'm going to jump into what's going right and what's going wrong, and this will probably be shorter than our normal podcast, but I wanted to let you know this will probably be our new format. Anybody who wants to chime in or send me questions, I will actually start looking at them, and we could discuss it. But jumping into it, the NFL draft. All I can tell you is that I don't care who nobody else picked. I'm looking at the Lions. We did a fabulous job on the offense, and that's something that I think a lot of people were not looking forward to. I'm going to be reading a whole lot of stuff that was brought out this week from the draft, and then the other thing I'm going to hit on is the Derby, because y'all know this Saturday is the Kentucky Derby. So, getting into it, these are the grades, and this is the information I'm going to give you is coming from the Detroit Lions website. So, for anybody who wants to verify what I'm saying, I know I'm going to be reading a lot. but this is how we're going to do this. And this just gives you an insight, as they say, maybe I'm going to be the school teacher here. It says, the draft grades for each of the Lions' 2018 opponents. The 2018 NFL draft is over, and the Lions fared well, earning around a B in most national draft grades. So how did the Lions' 2018 opponents do? Week 1 versus the Jets. The picks, USC quarterback Sam Darnell. Fort Hays State, defensive tackle Nathan Sherman, Shepherd. Miami tight end Christopher Herndon. Tulane cornerback Perry Nicholson. Connecticut defensive tackle Forlonso Fatukse. Virginia State running back Trenton Canyon. The grade a B. The Jets gave up 3 second round picks to move up 3 spots to find a quarterback. They might have gotten the top quarterback on their board with Darnell sitting there, though they wouldn't admit it if he wasn't their top quarterback. They paid a pretty high price to get him, but it's not franchise killing if it doesn't work out. Week 2, the picks, Notre Dame outside tackle Mike Menichi, Washington wide receiver Dante Pettis, BYU linebacker Fred Warner, Southern Miss safety last name Moore, North Carolina State defensive end Katania Street, Kansas State defensive back DJ Reed, Florida State defensive back Marcel Harris, Temple defensive tackle Julian Taylor, Middle Tennessee wide receiver Richie James. The grade B. McGlinchey brings power to the run game, and if he can learn to be a better protector, the Niners will have a great find. He's a solid player, but linebackers Tremaine Edmonds and safeties Derwin James and Monique Fitzgerald had better values. Week 3, the Patriots. Oh my God, this is the score that I can say I think everybody knows. Georgia outside tackle Isaiah Wynn. Georgia running back Sonny Michael. Florida cornerback Duke Dawson. Purdue linebacker Jawan Bentley. Arizona State linebacker Christian Sam. Miami wide receiver Braxton Berrios. Louisiana State quarterback Danny Ertling, Western Carolina. Defensive back Keon Croson, Florida State. Tight end Ryan Izzo. They got an A. There's not many sub 6'3" tackles in the NFL, but when strength and athleticism allow him to excel at the position with the Bulldogs, and there's no reason to think he can't be a solid player in the NFL. What that means is that we're going to have hell on our hands. I know, I don't really cuss that much. Dallas Cowboys, Week 4. The picks, Boise State, Leighton Vander Esch. And I got a chance to see him, and, you know, I'm going to say I think that was a good pick. Texas outside guard Connor Williams. Colorado State wide receiver Michael Gallup. Kansas defensive end Doris Armstrong. Stanford tight end Dalton Schultz. Western Kentucky quarterback Mike White. Indiana linebacker Chris Covington. Boise State wide receiver Cedric Wilson. Alabama running back Bo Scarborough. They got an A-. Vander Esch is talented off the ball, a liner who can move the outside and slip tackles inside the fine. I'm not going to read all this, but I can tell you, I would give, you know, the Cowboys an A also. Thank God that they are not part of the NFC North, because we'd be hit. Getting on to NFC North opponents. Now, this is what I really am concerned about. Green Bay, Week 5. Louisiana cornerback Jared Alexander, Iowa cornerback Josh Jackson, Vanderbilt linebacker Oren Burks, Missouri wide receiver Jamon Moore, Washington State outside guard Cole Madison, Alabama punter J.K. Scott, South Florida wide receiver Marquise Vandal Scantling, Notre Dame wide receiver, last name St. Brown. I'm not going to try to mess up this child's name. Cal, defensive tackle James Looney, Mississippi State. Line safety Hunter Bradley. And Southeastern Michigan linebacker Kendall Donaldson. Green Bay got an A. We're going to see how Green Bay fares against us. I didn't get a chance to see any of these guys, so I'm not going to make a comment on them. And I'm not going to go through each and every one of these, but I'm going to tell you that Miami did some serious work when they were, talking to us and doing stuff. Miami got a B. We're going to try to go kick some Miami, but the Seahawks, they got a C. And I think the Seahawks are still going to do good regardless. So even though they got a C in the draft, I think there's still going to be a serious game for us, and that's going to be in week 8, week 9. Naturally, we're playing the Vikings. They got an A-. You know, the whole thing is that the Vikings are a good team. I'm not going to knock them. They could be better, but we are going to be, you know, a force to reckon with this year. Week 10, the Bears got a whole lot to go. So in the draft, they did good. And remember, these are just from the draft. This is not how the team is going to do this year. This is strictly about the draft. So I don't want anybody to think that, oh, this is what they're saying. No, this is just based on their draft scores. Week 11, we're going up against the Panthers. And they got an A. You know, these teams made picks that were best for them. And when you look at them compared to what we picked, this is how they did. The Rams, you know, got an A for their picks. I'm not going to lie. A lot of these teams I didn't follow last year. Like I said, if they're not NFC North, I ain't following them. Just keeping it real, you know, and I think people would say I would have to be honest about that. And if you know me and know me well, that's how I function. The Cardinals, they got an A in their picks. The Bills got a B. Those are the picks against our opponents. And we're not talking about the whole NFL, just what our opponents did. But let's look at the 2018 draft class for each team in the NFC North. Now, the NFC North is what I'm concerned about. So a lot of people say, why? I'm a Lions fan. I bleed Honolulu Blue. So naturally, I'm going to sit here and come out and say, yes, this is how I'm going to vote. This is how I'm going to go. With that said, like I said, you guys are going to get a really quick show today. We're going to probably be going about 30 minutes. So we probably got about 20 minutes left for those of y'all who are keeping track of time. But let's look at who the Vikings picked in their draft class. The Vikings took Mike Hughes as a cornerback, Brian O'Neill outside tackle, Jalen Holmes defensive tackle, Tylan Conklin tight end, Daniel Carlson kicker, Colby Gossett guard, Ade Aruna defensive end, and Devontae Downs linebacker. You know, those are good picks for them. You know, I'm not going to knock the Vikings. Again, they did an excellent thing. When you come against the Lions, that's what we're going to have to look at. These are the guys who we have to be able to compete against. Remember that our offensive line was horrible last year. So when you're looking at that, I'm going to read what the 20-man take was on this 20-man. The 20th man. The 20-man is the article that I'm reading from. He says the Vikings are in a position roster with what. The Vikings are in a position roster-wise where they can look for the right athletic traits and prospects and build depth, especially on defense, because they don't have a ton of needs. O'Neill has a chance to start early at the right tackle, but Hughes and Holmes are probably talented sub-package players early that just continue to add to Minnesota's depth on defense. This is who we picked. We're the Lions, you know, and I think we made the best pick we could. You know, I've been checking out Ragnall, Frank Ragnall, that was our first pick. You know, he's a center from Arkansas. Kerryon Johnson, running back, Auburn. Tracy Walker, safety from Louisiana Lafayette. Deshaun Handy, Deshaun Hand, defensive end, Alabama. Tyrell Crosby, tackle, Oregon. Nick Baldwin, fullback, San Diego State. You know, and I'm going to actually read the full thing up underneath this like I did on the other ones because I love my Lions. The best pick, general manager Bob Quinn and head coach Matt Patricia want a tougher and more physical football team, and they appear to have accomplished that along the interior of the offensive line with the selection of Ragnall, who's a technician inside with a mean streak. That's a good combination to have at either center or guard, especially when the Lions want to be better running the football. Ragnall completes an offensive line group in Detroit that's expected to be much better than this year given they stay healthy. Good under the radar pick. A lot of Lions fans might not have known who Tracy Walker was before Friday night, but they could realize what he can bring to the table sooner rather than later. Walker gives a defense a lot of position versatility with his ability to line up in different spots and sub packages. He could see some early work in the slot or covering tight ends. The 20-man's take on this was, it's pretty clear from this draft that Quinn and Patricia value toughness and position versatility. Ragnall, Walker, Hand, and even Crosby can play multiple positions. They all have a physical element to their games as well. I'd add Johnson to the first in terms of toughness. The Lions got tougher and more physical via the draft. And that's something, you know, we were worried about this year was how strong we were going to be in the draft. And our offensive line, it's up. So, you know, if we can't score in a run game, what the fuck? What are we going to do? I'm not going to cuss. Okay, getting to Green Bay. Green Bay, they did some good picks, you know. You know, I'm not a big Green Bay fan, you know. Why would I be? But, you know, I'm looking at their lineup and I'm looking at who they picked. You know, I'm just going to read you guys the best pick under the radar and the 20-man's take on this because I think that's what's more important than who they picked. Best pick, no NFL team has taken more defensive backs in the first two rounds of the past five drafts than the Packers. The Packers finished 23rd in pass defense last year. Green Bay is hoping Alexander can come in opposite Kevin King, their top draft pick at corner last year, and give them some consistency in their back end. Alexander can fly 4.3 in the 40, and he isn't afraid to mix it up. Under the radar, Burks began his career at Vanderbilt as a safety, moved to a hybrid linebacker role, and then played linebacker exclusively. His explosiveness was off the charts at the combine during the 39.5 vertical and a 131 broad. He played inside linebacker for the Packers with the ability to be a three-down player given his experience defending the pass game as a safety. The 20-man's take on this was defense. That was obviously an area the Packers wanted to bolster, and they spent their first three picks on that side of the ball. Their new GM, Brian Gutekunst, showed that he's not afraid to try and fix a position of need. Cornerback with back-to-back picks early, the Packers have had a revolving door at cornerback over the years. The hope should be that King, Alexander, and maybe even Jackson solidify that until that unit for years to come. The Bears, you know, the Bears aren't the Browns, so I'm not going to knock them. I'm just going to say we like beating the Bears. Best pick. Smith is the reigning SEC Defensive Player of the Year and gives the Bears a rangy playmaker at the second level of their defense. He expected to be a day one starter and is an immediate upgrade to the Bears linebacking corps. That was a terrific pick for the Bears and defensive coordinator Vic Fangio. The under-the-radar pick was Miller. Looks like he can be a decent addition to the Chicago wide receiver corps that's been revamped this offseason with the additions of Allen Robinson and Taylor Gabriel via free agency. Miller had 139 catches, 2,896 receiving yards, and 32 touchdown catches over the past two seasons. The 20-man's take on this, This was a draft that really addressed some needs in Chicago. They had to add a playmaker on defense, the final piece of their offensive line, James Daniels, and continue to give weapons to the second-year quarterback, Mitchell Trunksby. I thought Chicago had a nice draft. That was from the 20-man. Now we're going to analyze the Lions draft picks. Now, you guys, I know y'all don't want to hear my voice, but I'm going to read this. Article isn't that bad. And then we're going to talk about the Derby, and then we're going to end. Because I think that y'all don't want to hear too much of my voice, but y'all want to hear just enough to get you through. And this is from Greg Cassell. Greg Cassell analyzes the draft picks. So what he had to say was, C-Rate executive producer of NFL Matchup and senior producer of NFL Films, Greg Cassell thinks about the Lions. And this is the 20 man who is looking at his analysis. So for anybody who's wondering where this is coming from or how it's going, this is where it's coming from and where it's going. What it is that he's saying, executive producer and analysis for the NFL Matchup and senior producer at NFL Films for 38 years, Greg Cassell has been kind enough to break down the Lions draft picks for the DetroitLions.com the past five seasons and has agreed to do so for a sixth year. Cassell's opinions are based on hours and hours spent watching the All-22 film and evaluating these prospects. Cassell is one of the most honest evaluators in the business and is well-respected among NFL circles. And y'all can go and read the article if y'all want to know or follow him. But here's what he said about the 2018 draft. Note, Cassell did not evaluate fullback Nick Baldwin, who the Lions drafted out of San Diego State in the seventh round. Round one, Frank Regu Arvisel. Cassell, very confident and composed in his pass sets with controlled lateral movement and good knee bend for his height, and Lent showed the need lateral movement and balance to mirror and redirect in pass protection show. Very good awareness and recognition of stunts and pressures. Excellent. This is his evaluation of Frank Regu, just so y'all understand. I'm sorry. And he played with excellent overall balance and body control and was a refined, efficient technician, snap-to-snap consistency of executive, defining features of Ragnow's game. The strength of his game is consistency of execution with a refined understanding of blocking schemes and angles, a deceptionary good athlete, which showed up in his athletic testing at Arkansas Pro Day. Ragnow also brings excellent fundamental technique and advanced feeling and awareness combined with good nature strength and high level competitiveness and toughness to interior of offensive line position. Ragnow's game is about efficient of execution, and he stood out in that area, getting the job done snap after snap, and that kind of consistency when combined with high level competitiveness always translates well to the NFL and interior offensive line play. Detroit wants to have some kind of physical run team, so now they have Ragnow, who's that kind of guy, very competitive and physical guy. Detroit has tough guys on the interior of the offense. You probably wouldn't call any of those guys super highly athletic, but I've learned in studying interior alignment over the years that the least important thing for interior guys is competing, is getting it done, it's battling, it's technique. You don't have to be a dancing bear on the inside. For round two, he evaluated Kerryon Johnson. He said Johnson is a very, very patient runner with excellent vision and feel for reading his blocks and finding holes in the offense. Johnson is prime example of speed through the hole, not speed to the hole. His short area burst consistently showed up and was a defining trait of his running. What constantly stood out about Johnson was that he was a highly competitive runner who ran with physicality and toughness and courage inside and squeezed every inch out of every run. My sense is Johnson would be most effective in a run game whose foundation was more gap scheme than zone. Although he could be effective running inside zone, the question is whether Johnson transitions to the NFL as a workhorse back. He's a 4 yards and cloud of dust type of runner without an explosive dimension to his game. He's not a game-breaking type of runner, but a substantiator who can keep an offense on schedule. He runs hard and he's a hard runner. That was his opinion on Kerryon Johnson. Round two, he did Tracy Walker, and I'm not gonna read what he said about everybody, you know, the full thing. I'm gonna read some of it. So for anybody who says that's not what he wrote, okay, I'm pulling out the bits and pieces. I'm not gonna read every single thing that was written. But he said he's sort of a Matt Patricia kind of player, and his ability to line up in different spots that is so important for how Bill Belichick and obviously Patricia seen the game defensively. I think that's one reason he was such an attractive player for the Lions. He has significant snaps over the slot, and his matchup versus Texas A&M Christian Kirk presents possibilities for Walker as a slot corner and sub packages. He played some snaps outside corner versus Ole Miss. What consistently stood out was that there was a physical toughness and competitiveness to Walker's game, and he played with a high energy and activity on every snap. Walker gives the defense a lot of position versatility with his ability to line up in different spots and sub packages and be effective. Two shell, single high, one robber slot corner in both man and zone. Dime linebacker sack versus Southern Miss snaps and outside corner versus Ole Miss. When I saw that pick, I thought, wow, that's a really interesting pick for the Lions given that Patricia's there. Round four, he gave his opinion on Deshaun Hand. And I'm going to skip down to what he said. He said, Hand's tape showed a higher level athlete with the kind of movement you don't normally see from a 297-pound defensive lineman. He's ran a 4.85 40-yard dash at the combine. At 297 pounds, Hand has the traits to develop into a strong pass rusher both from the defense and inside defensive tackle, but he needs much coaching and experience to get there. At this point, Hand is the classic traits prospect, but he didn't play as many snaps or have the kind of production that those traits should have led to. There's much to work with, but coaching will be critical, as will be Hand's approach as a professional. You know, and that's why when you look at the picks lower in the draft, you know these people are going to go on to the special teams. They're going to be there training. You know, remember that you've got a team of 50-plus people, and everybody doesn't play, you know. Some people are just reserve, and there's nothing wrong with being a reserve, and I think that's where people really get a lot of things mixed up, that they don't think about being a reserve. Hey, I'd rather be a reserve making $100,000 a year than be unemployed. I'm just saying. Round five, final person that he evaluated was Tyrell Crosby from Oregon. He's a tackle, and I'm going to read everything because it's not that much to say about him, but show that the core and lower body strength to generate power through his hips as a driving angle blocker, ran his feet on the contact, showing the need, sustaining and finishing movement, played low with excellent leverage and balanced body control as a run blocker, utilized at times as an inside puller in the gap scheme run game, efficient with compact movement, working to the second level in the game. Much more of a power strength pass protector than athletic movement pass protector. Very strong hands to control pass rushers when engaged early in the down. Lacks the top level quickness and lateral movement as a pass protector, but very efficient staying square and using his hands, rarely giving up the edge. Play with physicality and competitiveness, showing a nasty edge at times. Overall, an outstanding run blocker with the strength to move the defensive line. Very desirable combination of size, power. His size and build are likely better suited to play inside at guard at the next level. His competitiveness and physical approach combined with his drive and angle blocking ability also project better inside. There will be teams, depending on run game concepts and pass game designs, that will project Crosby a tackle. And my sense is he could be effective outside given his size, length, and power. But I believe he has physical and competitive traits to be an all-pro outside guard in the NFL. And those were the opinions. Everything's going to come down. But the one thing that I'm going to get on, and then like I said, I'm going to go over to the... Actually, I'm going to just skip over and go straight to it, because the only thing that I have Let's see. Oh, it's really short. No, I don't have anything. So I'm going over to the Kentucky Derby. The Kentucky Derby post positions. The 144th Kentucky Derby is this weekend. Post position, Saturday, May 5th, 2018, 6:50 Eastern Standard Time. I don't can't speak to anybody else, but I'm already working on my mint julep. The post positions, for those of y'all who really are into horse racing, I have not researched the horses this year, which is strange, but I think it hit me out of nowhere for this year's lineup. So I'm going to tell everybody, and I'm going to be honest, I haven't checked out the horses, so I'm going to probably be following the odds with everybody else. But in the first post, Frenzy Fire, odds 50-1. Free Drop Billy, odds 30-1. That's in number two. And these are in order. So remember, there's 20 post positions. So I'm not going to say post position and then go. Okay. Promises Fulfilled, 30-1. Flame Away, 30-1. Audible, 8-1. Good Magic, 12-1. Justify, 3-1. Lone Sailor, 50-1. Hofburg, 20-1. My Boy Jack, 30-1. Bolt the Ore, 8-1. Entice, 30-1. Bravazo, 50-1. Mendelssohn, 5-1. Instilled Regard, 50-1. Magnum Moon, 6-1. Solo Mini, 30-1. Vino Rosso, oh, that sounds like a good drink, 12-1. Noble Indy, 31. Combatant, 50-1. Those are the post positions. This is what they said from CBS Sports today. Who wins the Kentucky Derby? And one colossal long shot hits the board. The draw for the 144th running of the Derby is complete, and pre-race favorite Justify will try to break a 135-year-old drought known as the Apollo Curse coming out of the number 7 post on Saturday at Churchill Downs. It's an excellent draw for Robert Buffett, trainer, thoroughbred, which tops the field at 3-1 odds. Justify is seeking to become the first horse since Apollo in 1882 to win the most storied horse race in the world after not racing at age 2. Justify was one of two horses in Saturday's 1.25-mile race who did not race at age 2. 6 horses have won from the number 7 spot, most recently Street Sense in 2007. We didn't want the one hole, that's for sure, Baffert said, the 4-time Derby winner told the Associated Press. I was relieved when I saw him in 7. The field of 20 horses received their post positions on Tuesday morning at Churchill Downs, with Blended Citizen making the field as an also eligible addition if one of the other 20 horses in the field can't run Saturday. Mendelssohn, trained by Aiden O'Brien, I apologize, also drew a good post at number 14, and neither horse will likely see their odds drop significantly with those posts, which are more towards the center. The first 10 saw a few of the favorites get drawn, but Justify was the main one to get picked. Fan favorite Audible took the 5th post, which historically has been extremely friendly to horses. One of Todd Fletcher's 4 horses in the race, Audible has had decent odds. This can only improve those odds moving forward. Lone Sailor, the horse of late Saints owner Tom Benson, drew the number 8 post. Current Saints owner Gail Benson will probably be in attendance to watch Lone Sailor between Pelicans playoff games. And these are the updates, the post-draw update odds. And this was as of 12 hours ago, so these are the most recent odds that I have. Fierce Fire, 50-1. Free Drop Billy, 30-1. Promises Fulfilled, 30-1. Flame Away, 30-1. Audible, 8-1. Good Magic, 12-1. Justify, 3-1. Lone Sailor, 50-1. Hofburg, 20-1. My Boy Jack, 30-1. Bolt the Ore, 8-1. Entice, 30-1. Bravazo, 50-1. Mendel Soho, Sohn, 5-1. And Still Regard, 50-1. Magnum Moon, 6-1. Solo Mini, 30-1. Vino Rossi, 12-1. Noble Indy, 30-1. Combatant, 50-1. And here's the favorite wood break curse older than a century. Justify, of course, currently has the best odds at 3-1 out of post number 7. The horse is looking to break the Apollo course. No horse has won without racing at 2 since okay? I don't buy the Apollo curse or whatever, all that, mainly because Bob hasn't, he haven't got the horses, four-time Derby winner, trainer. The way he said, Ty's going to have his horse ready, and Buffett is going to have his. Best and worst positions. The post positions may not matter for the long haul, but they can make all the difference in the scrum at the beginning of the race. According to America's Best Racing, Christina Moore, number 17 is the dreaded post position. No horse has ever won the Derby out of that gate, and only three have finished in the money. Solo Mini is a long shot at 30-1. To do so beyond that, post 18 through 20 have yielded just one winner and nine in the money. Finishes between them. Vino Rossi out of number 19 is most likely to buck that trend at 12-1 odds. Post number 5 is the magic number with 10 champions started out at that gate at 8-1 odds. Oliveville has a decent position to build on the legacy. 21 horses have finished in the money from number 5, surpassed only by post 2. 7 winners, 25 ITM finishes. Run by Free Drop Billy at 31 odds and 10. 9 winners owned by My Boy Jack, also at 31 odds, which post is the best depth on which jockey it is, with some preferring to stay outside due to the lease, but also others preferring the middle. Ultimately, however, no amount of luck in the draw will top the horses with more stamina. Justify running out of post 7 is a good draw for the favorite and certainly wouldn't do anything to hurt odds moving forward. For those of you guys who want to know, that was Let's Talk About Sports for today, Tuesday, May 1st, May Day. I will be talking to you guys again next week. Until then, bye-bye.